Hey, everyone. Welcome to this month's call. I'm here with my buddy. And you guys know that when I say buddy or friend, it has to be real or I don't say it, because I always hate that junk where somebody's going, hey, my good buddy just sent me an email, and you know that they don't even know who this person is. But I actually know who John Morgan is. He's just a great guy, has a great family. The reason I'm bringing him to you today is because he is not just an expert, but an authority in branding. He's got just a unique way to frame things, to help companies, to help you guys be able to create a lasting brand and a real brand, not something that's, you know, scam-based or angle-based, but something that you're going to be able to attach yourself to for the long term. He's got a book that's coming out really soon. I'm going to get him to talk about that in just a minute, called Brand Against the Machine. It's from Wiley Publishing. One of the top business publishers out there, if not the top, and I know you're going to want to pick up a copy of that. So welcome, John. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
And awesome. Love that your new book is coming out. When's that due?
It comes out November 22nd, I believe, somewhere towards the end of November.
Awesome.
How's that for great promotion?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's going to be off the charts, I believe, just because it's just so much you, just the whole name itself, Brand Against the Machine. How'd you come up with that title?
Well, it's funny. First of all, the rock band Rage Against the Machine is one of my favorite bands, but I was speaking at an event in Chicago, and flying home that night, I was on the scariest little plane ever. I think there was like 10 of us, even, you know, on the plane. Sitting in the back, you know me, Paul, I'm a big guy, like I don't really fit in the seats at all, you know, got my feet, you know, sticking out in the aisle, and very uncomfortable, it's storming, like everything, you know, just pretty much prepared to die, and I started thinking about concepts, right, and like how, you know, you want that hook, a concept people can kind of buy into and all that kind of stuff, and listening to my iPod and listening to Rage Against the Machine, I was coming up with all these, you know, Rage Against Something ideas. And finally I was like, you know what, I've got that backwards, flipped it around to Brand Against the Machine, and realized that I was kind of onto something, because the machine, like in my mind, is basically, I mean, look, every single day there's tens of thousands of marketing messages thrown in our face, and we don't want them. You know, we didn't ask for them. We certainly don't need them. And the way people are marketing their business and their brands is clearly backwards, and it's clearly broken, and you don't want to be a part of that. That's
Man,
what it's
awesome.
All about. So that's how it came about, a scary flight from Chicago.
Hey, fear is a great motivator and tool for creativity.
That's right.
Think about branding, you know, there's a lot of, I think, just misinformation about what a brand really is. How do you define brand?
Well, that's a great, great question, and I think my definition of it is that it's you, it's everything, right? And that's the problem that I see people, you know, come to me with, Paul, is they're like, okay, hey, I'm ready to create my brand. Well, you've already got a brand. You know, people already have a perception of you. You know, your family, your friends, everybody already has this perception of you. I remember, Paul, when I first, like, started a real business, I was 20 years old, and my family all looked at me like I was crazy. Right, my brand was not a good one, and you know, they had that perception of me, right? Like, you know, and so I had to change that, of course. But that's the thing, is you've already got it. Everything you do is branding. How you answer the phone, how quick you respond, you know, to an email, you know, your price, you know, the image you know, put out there, your content, you know, all that stuff is your brand. So I think the problem is people think of branding as like your big corporate branding, like, hey, you know, let's buy a billboard, let's, you know, run Super Bowl ads and, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's great if you've got, you know, Pepsi's budget, but we don't. Most of us listening to this, you know, certainly, you know, don't have that kind of budget. It would be awesome if we did. But that's that, like, 1970s, 1980s, you know, corporate branding that does not work. And it certainly doesn't work for the individual entrepreneur who's just trying to, you know, get their message out there, right? So you have to understand, your brand is you. People want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. That is you. That's why you have to focus on building relationships.
Yeah, and you see a lot of folks out there really trying to keep themselves out of the picture. They're trying to make their brand either their product or their business name, and for some reason they want to divorce themselves, their personality, their style, from what their business actually is. And you make just such a solid point there that who we are is really what speaks to people. That's what they're going to end up connecting with. So let's say that someone's never really thought about that before. They've got their maybe they've got their product or their business idea. They're getting ready to launch that. You know, what are some initial steps or even some exercises maybe that they could do to be able to focus their mind on what's essential?
Well, I think that they can actually look at some of the big, you know, corporate famous brands out there and see the personalities behind them. If you look at Apple, we think of Steve Jobs. If you look at Virgin, we think of Richard Branson. You know, these are great, you know, Virgin and Apple are great brands, but there's obviously really, really strong personal brands behind it. And you bring up that good point. People try to get their name out of it and try to pull themselves out of it. And the objection I hear all the time is, but what about when I want to sell the company? It's like, you know, really? Like, why don't you just make it profitable first? You know, like somebody's like starting their business and they're always like, but what about my exit strategy? It's like, you know what? Make $1 million a year, then worry about it. Right? Like one step at a time before you're, worried about stepping out. And, you know, with that, I mean, look, Steve Jobs just recently stepped down, from CEO of Apple. Guess what? Apple's going to be fine. You know, people are still going to buy iPads and iPods and, you know, MacBooks and, you know, all that stuff. Like, they're going to be okay, right? But they were built by that strong personal brand. So I think the first steps for somebody is to, again, realize that as silly as it seems, we do want to know about you. You know, we do want to know, you know, about your family. We want to know about your personality. We want to know, you know, about your story, where you came from, you know, and these kind of things. So everything that kind of seems like, you know, irrelevant or in your mind, you'd be like, no one cares about that. Yes, they do. Absolutely, they do. This is why we read books about Donald Trump and, you know, Richard Branson and Steve Jobs and, you know, these people, is because we want to gravitate towards them. And so you have to put your personality out there. So I think that's the first step, Paul, just knowing that, hey, in your marketing, in your product, in your content, yes, it all has to be good, but you have got to put you out there, your personality.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you think about just how successful something like Facebook has been, and it's really based on that personality, based on getting to know that person, getting to like that person. And, you know, we can't, again, pull ourselves back and act like that we are not an essential part of our business. Now, I know one of the things you're covering in A Brand Against the Machine is the instant positioning method, how to stand out from the crowd, position yourself as a resource, not just another service provider. Hit on that a little bit. How can people who might feel a little bit nervous about really getting out there and putting themselves up front and getting active, what's the instant positioning method and how is that going to help them?
Well, it's a great question. It's basically leveraging off those pre-existing brands, right? You know, so this, you know, at the smallest level, Paul, is, you know, getting retweeted by someone. You know,
right.
There's a association there, right? There's a power in that association. So, for example, let's say that your audience who knows your content, they've got a relationship with you, they love you. If you retweet me, in their eyes, I must be okay.
Right.
You know, because now all of a sudden I'm kind of with Paul. You and I doing this interview right here is another great example. Now your audience is like, hey, this John guy's okay, or maybe they think I suck. If that's the case, I'm going to cry. But, you know, there's an instant, you know, there's that instant, you know, positioning right there, right? So the way I even did this in the beginning, Paul, was for my own, like, websites and blogs and, you know, all that stuff, was I just went out and started interviewing people. And here I was kind of a nobody, but because I'm the one on the phone talking to the somebody,
right,
I look like a somebody. You know, I mean, by the way, Oprah built her entire business this way. You know, a lot of people, you know, don't realize that, you know, her show for the very first several years was no different than any other crazy, you know, daily talk show, you know, with the crazy topics and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then she started doing these interviews with people, again, kind of as a nobody. And look at her today. She got no problem, you know, people are begging her to interview them. Right? You know, she's one of the most successful, you know, brands of all time. So I think that's the thing that you have to do is just figure out, okay, how can I leverage myself in those ways? That even comes, you know, Paul, you know, you and I spoke at some events together. You know, we're speaking there. If someone really big is in that lineup, there's that power of association right there. You know, you kind of shared the stage with that person. you know, right. And so there's all these different ways, and the internet just makes it so easy, especially like social media and those kind of things, to connect with those people and kind of get those little unimplied endorsements, if you will, and it allows you, again, to grow your, you know, awareness and, you know, the presence of your brand, but at the same time, because you're aligned yourself with people who already have authority, it looks like you've got authority as well.
I really love how you hit that, even as a very beginner, as an unknown, you were able to approach some people that by association was really going to put you in a great light and a great spot. And a lot of people think that that's hard, but it's really not. I can't tell you the number of people I've contacted on Amazon that are famous authors, and they're willing to do an interview because they feel like maybe they'll sell 5 or 10 books and that's it. You know, they don't really have this big mindset a lot of us who are online really have. They're just thinking about the audience, and at the same time, we're able to use their celebrity, we can use that term, as a way to show our connection. I love how you gave us something that's going to be so simple and applicable. Everybody, you can really do that. It's not that difficult, and there'll be some no's, but I think you'll be surprised at the number of yeses. And if you've been in any sort of internet business where you've been trying to get a JV partner and the no's are like 99-1 yes, it's opposite in the offline world. People are a lot more willing to help other people out.
Yeah, well, all right. Just expand on that real quick, especially, like, you know, first of all authors obviously want to get their brand out there because, like you said, you know, they want to sell books. Heck, I've got a section in my book where I talk about this, where I even say, if you want to interview me, here's my email address. Which is obviously insane, because I know I'm going to end up regretting that. That's in the book. Hopefully now, you know, from years to come, people are going to be, you know, hitting me up about doing interviews. But here's the thing with that, Paul. I just want to explain this so people really can wrap their head around it. The reason these people want to do these interviews is because even if your audience is small, that audience may not know who they are. You know, so you and I, Paul, we're very familiar with Seth Godin. Everybody listening to this is probably familiar with Seth Godin. And to say his name is just kind of a no-brainer. If I go up to my parents, who both own an offline business, and say, hey, I'm going to interview Seth Godin, they don't know who he is. Even though his brand seems to be at the top, he still needs that exposure.
Right.
If there's, you know, it doesn't matter what level you are at, you know, what kind of success you've achieved, pretty much unless you're Oprah, there's going to be some pocket of people who don't know who you are.
Yeah, and I love that spirit of servanthood and even humility, that even if it's a small crowd, a lot of these big-time authors will be totally willing to have just a small crowd be exposed to them. And that's another mindset shift for a lot of people, because we're often thinking about, if I can get that one big hit, I'll have it made, instead of saying, let me get in front of any audience that I can, or bring anyone to my audience that I can that's going to be valuable to them, and be able to help anchor my brand, what I stand for, in multiple venues, multiple audiences, but also reengage and anchor my branding with my audience based on who I bring to them. So you get both sides of the coin there. You also talk about the 20-60-20 rule. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, basically, this rule is why you want people to hate you, okay? This is why it's okay to have people to hate you. And here's basically what it means. And obviously, the numbers here, it's not a hard scientist or hard science with it. I just made it up. But 20% of the people out there are going to love you. No matter what you do, they're going to love your content, they're going to love your products, and you can make a living off of that 20%. 20% are going to hate your guts. They don't like your personality. They don't like your accent. You know, they don't just do not like you, right? And they may let you know.
Fortunately, I don't
like
have an accent, so we don't have to worry about that one.
Right. I was going to say, like, you know, typically I'm the southern guy on the calls, except today. It's really nice because now I sound normal.
Yeah.
So I'm very pumped about that. But, and then 60% of those people, Paul, they're on the fence. They either don't even know you exist, or they haven't made up their mind whether they like you or not. Now, that's the dangerous number, okay? You don't want people to be on the fence. You want to move them to either hate you or love you, okay? And a great example of this and why this is a good thing to have, that 20% that hates you, is because when those people get vocal, it infuriates that 20% that loves you, and now they come to your defense and they fight for you. And, you know, if you don't believe me, go up to any, you know, 12-year-old girl and tell her that Twilight sucks. You know, to see her reaction, right?
Which is true.
Yeah, I was going to say, which, by the way, yeah, is a fact, right? You know, see the reaction. We, you know, again, using Apple as an example, right? You know, people are like, oh, you know, talking about, you know, calling them Mac fanboys and this kind of thing. Why? Because, you know, they are Apple everything. You know, I don't know anybody that just owns an iPod and, you know, doesn't eventually then, you know, get a Mac or, you know, get the iPad or, you know what I mean? Like, they seem to start to buy multiple products. You know, they get the iPhone as well. You know, all those kind of things. And when they see other people attack it, my goodness, you know, they come out of everywhere fighting it, right? So you have to understand you're never going to please everybody. There's going to be people out there that, you know, just don't like you. But that's okay, because the more they don't like you, the more the people that love you are going to gravitate towards you and feel like they're a part of something, and that's what you want to create.
And but so many people wrestle with that, you know, from the standpoint of they want to be loved by everybody, which is obviously an impossibility. And then on the opposite side, when they hear something like, you know, allow people to really decide which side of the fence they're going to get on, they almost go overboard and write something stupid or publish something stupid in order just to get a reaction. You know, how do you go with your gut to really throw out your beliefs in a way that's going to help people choose a side without getting crazy?
Yeah, well, I think that if you're going to say something controversial, don't ever do it for the sake of being controversial, right? Like, cause when you do that, it's just, you know, it's like you're saying, it's a train wreck. And that kind of, you know, buzz or buzz marketing or whatever, it's short-lived. You know, that's the problem with that, is it just doesn't last, right? And people are also pretty smart, and they kind of see what you're doing. You know, you're writing that blog post hoping to make people mad, you know,
right,
just because you want more traffic to your blog post. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's got,
they kind of see through that stuff. So I think when you're truly controversial, Paul, it's just something that you strongly believe in. Hey, this is how I feel. This is the way it is. You are not going to convince me otherwise. And if you don't like it, then tough. But you're doing it because of that, because you adamantly believe in it, not because you just want to, you know, raise some eyebrows or get some people talking.
Right. We've all got that. I mean, everybody in our family could point out exactly where our stances are. Sometimes we're a little bit blind to those, but we've all got that stance. And, you know, it's ridiculous to go online and write, hey, what I'm about to share could be seen as controversial. You know, just a lame beginning. That's like getting up and say, hey, let me tell you a funny story. Well, at that point, it better be hilarious. It better not just be funny if you're going to announce that this is a funny story. If you're going to say something controversial, it's better just to say it without the prelude. I would just encourage everybody to write down, you know, your position on things, not necessarily go about looking for a way to rant, but as you react to things that you see in the marketplace, injustices that you see done to your market, just speak up and speak out boldly for those things without necessarily trying to force it and come across in a way that is not authentic for you. Well,
that's
as
a great
we,
point, Paul. Well, let me add to that just real quick. I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you do that, when you speak up against something you see in your market or you see in your industry that you don't agree with, that you don't believe in, that's when you're going to find those supporters, as long as you're speaking out in a way where you're not blatantly attacking someone.
Right.
You know, that's when you just get attacked back. You know, that's that's when, you know, you just you bring on this fire that you probably don't want, you know, and you don't want to deal with. So, again, you know, just be careful with it. But like you said, just, you know, speak your mind and put it out there. And, you know, if people love it, great. And, you know, if people don't, that's okay. Like, I make fun of my mother-in-law a lot. I make fun of her in the book. I make fun of her online. And I've got people, every time I do it, who will write me and be like, hey, I love my mother-in-law. To which I write them back and say, well, you're crazy. You know, unsubscribe from my email list then, because I cannot relate to you, right? Because no one's going to convince me that she's sane. No one's going to convince me she's normal, right? Like, at all. It cannot be done. So I'm okay with putting it out there, and, you know, she's found out about it and all that stuff, which has backfired on it, because now she thinks she's a celebrity. Or, you know, she'll do stuff crazy to me on purpose and then be, are you going to tweet about that? And I'm like, oh, see, now I see, you know, I got to not give her any attention.
Right. You just lit a fire under her now. Escalate.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. All right, man, as we close down our time together, appreciate you taking the time today, bro. Any final thoughts, maybe some of your king-size master thoughts of awesomeness about brand that you believe that is really essential for anyone who's really wanting to anchor themselves in their market and stand out from the crowd?
Yeah, I'm going to give you my best thing, Paul. And this is the thing, yeah, by the way, that people don't like me talking about, because when they're trying to sell their latest product and course and, you know, the latest tactic, sometimes that stuff doesn't matter. Here's the thing. Here's the harsh truth about about marketing and the reality here. It doesn't matter how good you are at it. It doesn't matter how good you are at what you do. If no one knows you exist, you will not make money. You will not be successful. So what I mean here, Paul, is that your visibility is more important than your ability. Okay, it's not the field of dreams here. Just because you build a product doesn't mean people are going to come buy it. And this is why we all see people in our industry and in our niches that are having this great success, and we're like, geez, I know I'm smarter than that person. I know my product is better. You know, I know these things. Well, they're having success because they're more visible than you. They're more well-known. Now, I'm not giving people a free pass to build a product or service that is, you know, bad, right? So while visibility is more important than ability, the reality there is that visibility gets you in the door, but your ability keeps you there. That visibility and you get attention, but then your product and service are not good and you can't fulfill your promises, that's going to be a nightmare for you and that's going to do more harm than good. So, yes, create a good product and service, but just know you could be sitting on the greatest, you know, internet marketing course of all time, and if no one knows you exist, you're not going to sell any.
Man, love it. Anchor that, folks. That is solid. I'm definitely applying that myself. Hey, if you want to know more about John, go to johnmichaelmorgan.com. You can also visit him on Facebook. Where else do they need to get in touch with you, brother?
They can follow me, you know, facebook.com/John Morgan or twitter.com/John Morgan, you know, anywhere.
Anywhere. Just type it in. All right. Yeah. We look forward to Brand Against the Machine. It's going to be awesome. I'll make sure that I mail for it as it comes out as well. Appreciate everybody listening in. Make sure that you are applying these lessons. And as always, success is not an accident. Be blessed, guys. Thanks, John.
Thank you.